A few days after saying that a replacement for Obamacare could take a while, President Trump says there's no delay for promised tax changes. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading this morning, some of the key stock indexes reached new record highs. Some market players credit the president's statement about taxes yesterday. "We are way ahead of schedule," Mr. Trump said, "and that a plan in maybe 2 or 3 weeks will be, quote, phenomenal." Yet I had been talking to a chief economist on Wall Street here who thought tax changes don't happen until 2018, after Obamacare is unplugged. For still another view, let's turn to Karen Petru, managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington.
There are many issues on the congressional agenda crowding it. Obamacare is, of course, a key one. Financial reform is increasingly a priority item. One of the key issues Congress will have to think hard about is the income inequality impact of what they do. And I see numerous areas in which particularly some of the financial reform initiatives interact with potential tax reform in ways that could be problematic for some of the voters who supported the Republican majority. So this is a tricky business.
Now, the president says there will be details. They will be announcing, quote, something in the next 2 or 3 weeks on tax reform. So I assume you'll be there and sitting there with all ears.
The key, of course, is the details. Tax reform is nothing if not a detailed business, and I think everyone in this town will want to see that, and the market should wait for that before it judges who wins and who loses.
Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics in D.C. Stock in Sears Holdings was up nearly 30% in early trading after the company announced a sweeping restructuring plan at Sears and Kmart. Cuts include pension and debt obligations. Sears is already selling the Craftsman brand and is looking for someone to take Kenmore and Die Hard. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe meets with President Trump today, with golfing in the cards tomorrow. Look around you. How many Japanese cars are you seeing right now? Japan has an incentive to keep the relationship in good standing, even with the U.S. getting out of the Trans-Pacific trade deal. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
Japan's direct foreign investment in the U.S. already exceeds $400 billion. And Prime Minister Abe is expected to talk about investing more, appealing to President Trump's ambitions to update U.S. infrastructure. Peter Petry, professor of international finance at Brandeis University, says rail infrastructure will likely come up.
They have a lot of technology that potentially they would like to sell us and exploit together, for example, on high-speed trains.
Another item sure to be on Abe's list, autos. Japanese auto companies employ or support the jobs of hundreds of thousands of Americans, but they pay tariffs on vehicles and parts that are manufactured in Japan. Mireya Solis of the Brookings Institution says Abe may address phasing out those tariffs.
So clearly this would be an issue that the Japanese side would like to revisit if there was indeed bilateral trade negotiation in the future.
Bilateral trade being what Trump seems to prefer to multinational accords. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
When it comes to children and money, one often wonders about nature versus nurture. Kids from the same family, one's a spendthrift, the other is thrifty. Beth Kobliner is in the nurture camp. She's author of a new book called Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not.
We're seeing more and more research showing that there are things we can teach kids. We just have to do it in the right way. For example, my most favorite thing in the world was I got to teach Elmo about money on Sesame Street.
You know he's a puppet, right?
Okay, well, can we just change the topic and talk about this?
Okay.
We really had a moment, Elmo and I, but then they actually did an impact study. People who watched the show with their kids and people who didn't watch the show. And they found that when families watched the show and worked on the materials that they were given with the show, they were more likely to increase savings.
Here's a crucial one that you highlight. Avoid creating the money gap. Now, this is what? A gender issue.
One company did a study on looking at how parents talk to boys and girls. And in fact, they talk to boys about investing much more than they talk to girls. And not surprisingly, they also say, these parents, that they feel boys have a better sense of the value of a dollar than their daughters. That is a wake-up call to talk to our daughters about everything from how to save money, how to invest money, and how to negotiate for salary at a job. I think those are really big issues that came out of this.
Now, you and I could do a 12-part series on debt and credit cards for young people, but I got a one-word question.
Yeah.
When's a kid supposed to get a card?
Well, I would say junior year in college.
In college. Really?
Yeah. I am such a hard line on this. So in 2009, the rules changed, the CARD Act under Obama, and it said you need to be 21 to get a credit card or have income or have a parent co-sign. So one mistake is parents are now co-signing credit cards with kids, and that means in many cases your kid isn't building up a credit record of his own, and if they make a mistake, they're going to mess up your credit score.
All right, before we go, I got to ask you about something that you tell parents perhaps not to talk about when it comes to money. I have a lot of list of things you should talk about. Your salary, really?
Yeah.
No, you think that opens up cans of worms?
It's not I feel like... But it's sort of not appropriate when your six-year-old says, Mommy, how much do you earn? And you give them a figure, because that figure, or even a 10-year-old, it doesn't really have context. You explain it, you can tell a kid what the median income is, but I think throwing out numbers really just confuses a kid.
All right. Personal finance expert Beth Kobliner's latest book, Make Your Kid a Money Genius Even If You're Not. Beth, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Looking through her book's advice on how to talk to kids about money, some of it looked a lot like talking to them about sex. Start earlier than you might think, keep it age appropriate, and don't overshare. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.